Jesus gives us one of the most unique insights into the spiritual unseen world of our enemy that we'll find anywhere in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 43. Christ allows us to see something that we can never see with our natural eye. But He sees all things and knows all things, and because of His concern for us, He's giving us an insight to know how that we can be aware of the devices of our enemy and how he works. He says in verse 43, in Matthew chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 43, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Jesus, the words of Christ, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Let me pause right there. See how quiet it got? When you talk about the unclean spirit. We don't like to hear about it, but trust me. There is a devil, and there are devils or demons and unclean spirits that exist. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, you can't see the unclean spirit. He's dealing with what human eye cannot see now. And He's telling us what happens when the unclean spirit comes out of a person. He, referring to the unclean spirit, walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from which I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, we live in a world today that the devil has successfully turned this passage of Scripture around completely until people don't understand what faith and spirituality and serving the Lord and what battling the devil is all about. See, here he's talking about not what's on the exterior. He's talking about what's on the interior. He said it really doesn't matter what the house looks like on the outside. If the house is empty, and that's what I'm preaching on today, an empty house. If the house is empty on the inside, you've got problems. And we look today at just the opposite. We look at things that people have. The exterior. We look at the size of their church building. We look at the size of their bank account. We look at the kind of cars they drive and kind of clothes that they wear. And we look at all the things that people have and say, they surely must be serving God. But the truth of the matter is, the most ungodly people in this world have the most stuff. This world is now controlled by the prince and power of the air. The devil himself tried to tempt our Savior by offering Him the kingdoms of the world. Someone said, why, he had no right to do that. He absolutely has the right to do that. This is all for the title deed of earth, which God created, and humanity, who God formed. And the devil says, I've got control of this world, this present age, this present system. And he's saying, I can give you whatever it takes for you to serve me. Don't shout me down now. When you deal with the unseen, it answers a lot of questions. We begin to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When we're struggling against the forces of evil, we find ourselves sometimes questioning ourselves. Do any of you ever wake up in the morning after you've had a long night's sleep and wonder, why am I so tired? Can I tell you why? Sometimes there's a battle going on. Even when your eyes are closed and your body's at rest, there is a struggle that's going on in the heavens because the devil never stops. I don't care if you've been saved for 60 years. The devil still loves to try to torture us and try to overcome us every way that he possibly can. But we are now ignorant to his devices. How's he work? Well, you have to understand, Satan is trying to establish a kingdom equal to the kingdom of God. I didn't say that he can do that. He's trying to do that. You understand that the devil, Satan, has never created anything? He can create nothing. He can only imitate. He doesn't do anything like God can do. God can create. Before that it ever happens, if God thinks it and speaks it, it is. The devil can't do that. But he'll try to imitate God. We have a heavenly Father, so Satan sets himself up as the father of this wicked trinity throughout this world. We follow the Son, Jesus Christ. He has one as well that he's appointed and laid his hand upon, called the Antichrist, that he'd love to use in this day coming up to try to deceive the multitudes, if possible, even the very elect. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. He has his false prophet. He hasn't created anything. He just imitates. And we understand how he works. If you want to find out if something is of God or if something is of Satan, I hear this so much. Is this the devil or is this God? Pretty easy to find out. Just read about the devil and see what he is. And what he is, that's what he still uses and that's what he still does. We know he's Lucifer, cast down from heaven. That tells us a lot when we follow that characteristic from teaching. First of all, he had his heart full of hatred. If your heart is full of hatred, if your heart has any hatred for anybody, that's not from God. I assure you of that. Pull an amen out of your pocket. If you don't have one, borrow one from a neighbor. We feel like it's all right to hate. You don't hate people, you hate sin. You hate what the devil's doing to people. We ought to hate the devil, but we ought not hate one another. Not only is there hatred, but also there's jealousy. If you look at somebody that God is blessing and looking at their ministry and their life and there's jealousy that's there, that's not from God. That's the devil trying to oppress you and put things in your mind when he tells you, oh, look at that person. Look how blessed they are. Look at what they're doing. And look, you're struggling for God and you've served God all of these years. You don't have a big church and you don't have a big ministry. Nobody knows your name. Or perhaps you'll get to a point in your life where you're all alone and you feel like that you're forgotten, and the devil will say, see, aren't you jealous of all those people that's able to go and able to do? You don't need to be jealous of any of that. May I remind you, we have not received our payday yet. Our payday is not in this life. It's not in the abundance of things that we possess. But we have treasures laid up yonder where the moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. The devil would love to make you jealous of one another. There's people right here in your town. They won't come to this meeting. They profess Christianity. They won't come to this meeting, but they'll talk about it. You know who knows more about this meeting than anybody else? People that's never been here. Because of jealousy in their heart. Don't let that worry you when people talk about you and what you're doing. Thank God you're doing something. They're jealous. Jealousy prevailed to the scribes and Pharisees when Christ was here. See, they would go around and tell people, you can't be healed. You're going to live this way, die. Then after they'd go through all of those things and they could do nothing to help them, Jesus shows up, brings miracles into their life, and they were jealous because he did what they could not do. He tried to dethrone God. That's an impossibility. But he tried to dethrone God. If you find yourself trying to dethrone people, sometimes the devil will try to make it look like it's easier to tear somebody down to our level than to move up to a higher level. Don't try to be like somebody. Try to be like the Lord. He'll try to dethrone ministries. Ministries will tear down other ministries. He'll try to dethrone marriages. He'll even get a couple at odds with one another over who makes the most money or who has the most say. He loves to try to tear down and dethrone things. But may I remind you, there is only one that belongs on the throne, and the rightful one is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's full of rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The reason that it's as the sin of witchcraft is because witchcraft is sponsored by evil spirits. So he says rebellion is as unclean spirits. Witchcraft. You heard me right? There's no such thing as a Christian witch. Those terms don't go together. Two different kingdoms, two different gods. I feel preaching coming on. He vied for power and control. If you find yourself trying to control others, control things, control your church, you know why that you can't be a pastor? Because you won't be pastored. If you won't let somebody pastor you, you can't pastor somebody else. You know why you can't teach anyone? You can't be taught anything. I've seen this so much. People vying for power. Power in the church. Power in the government. Power here. Power there. Everyone's trying to gain control of power. May I remind you, when it comes to the church, there is only one authority in the church. All power is given in heaven and earth to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the supreme authority. None of us have any power. We share in His power. He allows us to partake of His power. We're not deserving of this. We're not worthy of this. But He allows us to share in all of the power that He has. We have no power of ourselves. The powers that be are ordained of God. And God said, I allow you to share in those powers. But He does have organization. There are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. That shows me organization. Principalities. We often use that. I know the meaning of that word, that we use it, but we also have an English word called principalities. You know, demons will take control of a whole area or city, and that city will take on the characteristics of that spirit. For example, if I say Sin City, what do you think of? Thank you for those of you brave enough to say it. Why do we say that? Because that city has taken on that personality. There's cities oftentimes that they have a common goal of wickedness that prevails. If you're going to see revival come to your city, oh Lord Jesus, if you're going to see revival come to your town, you're going to have to find out what the devil is using and start understanding there is a power that only comes by and through Jesus Christ. And you can't beat around the bush. You have to get direct to the source of the problem and lay the axe to the root of the tree and start rebuking that principality and power to see the grace and glory of God break through and change the lives in that area. They have organization. Even Jesus verifies that. He comes to the demoniac of Gadara. You remember what happened? The man living in a graveyard, cutting himself, abusing his body, living among the tombs. And when Jesus speaks to the unclean spirit, they declare themselves legion. For we are many. What's the word legion mean? It's a military term. If you think, and we hear this so much, when it rains, it pours. We've got the idea that unclean spirits fight us like a mob. They are not a mob. They are military. They have a strategic plan. And you have to decide to seek God in His Word to find out what their plan is to try to come against you in your work for the Lord. And if you fail to do that, then we don't have the victory that the Lord intends for us to have. They have organization. We know as well that I think it's important to notice this, that demons, I'm going to say this in layman's terms. Someone said, how do you define devils, unclean spirits? What is an unclean spirit? An unclean spirit is a disembodied spirit. And by that, the spirit in and of itself that has a characteristic or personality cannot portray its desire without a body. A spirit of greed has to have a hand to grasp the money. A spirit of murder has to have a hand to pick up the knife, pick up the gun. Are you with me? In and of their self, the unclean spirit can do nothing without a body. They need a body. It's not any more than lust until it finds a body. You say, is that scriptural? Absolutely. In Luke 13:11, Jesus came to a woman, and the Bible says that this woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And the Bible says Jesus loosed her from the infirmity. Now let me get this out front right now. He was not saying that all sickness is because of unclean spirits. But there are some people. It's the Word. I'm sorry. I don't think you caught what I said yet, so let me just go over it because I'm maybe not making it clear enough. What Jesus said, there was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity. There was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity. The woman wasn't sick. The spirit was sick. Had the woman not taken the unclean spirit into her, she would not have had sickness. Now, folks, I battle illness like every one of you. But the Christian doesn't have to worry about being possessed. We can be oppressed, but we can't be possessed. But someone that doesn't know the Lord can open themselves up to unclean spirits. And sometimes those unclean spirits can be spirits of sickness. We'd love to put a medical term on it because that makes it sound better. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, your problem is this. You're not sick. You've got a spirit in you that's sick. And the Bible says that He released her from the infirmity. Now, people do not get loosed from infirmity. They get healed from infirmity. If we are sick, we get healed. But if the spirit inside of a person is sick, when Jesus casts the spirit out, the sickness goes with it because it's the spirit that's sick. They have to have a body to operate with. They can do nothing without hands, feet, a person to animate. What they need a body. They need a body. Then He gives us the great description of them. First of all, He said, they go out. Everybody right now ought to say, praise God, they go out. I'm glad they're not there to stay. They can go out. This unclean spirit went out. Not only do they go out, but he tells us what they do when they go out. They walk through dry places. Now that tells me that unclean spirits feel at home in dead churches. Because no one's going to recognize them. No one's going to call them by name. No one's going to sense what they're doing. No one's going to bother them. They feel right at home and operate the best in dry places. They love dead places. When the man was possessed with demons, and of course when Jesus cast them out and they went into the swine and they ran into the steep place and drowned themselves, what a lesson that is to us. But where was the man living at? In a graveyard. In a dead place. A dry place. Now, we all go through dry times. And we all go through desolate places. But I don't know how you feel about it. When I get there, I may not like being there, but I determine I'm not going to stay here long. I'm not hanging out in a graveyard. I'm going to go where there's life and where that I can sense the mighty power and presence of life. And that is the place where the Lord is at. They walk through dry places. They seek rest. Thank God, devils get tired. Well, if they didn't get tired, we'd be in trouble. In fact, that's one of the main tools you have against the enemy. Even the devil himself, Satan himself, his days are numbered. We're going to live forever. We have forever. He has a season. Glory to God. We're here for a little while, but don't you worry. When they say that we're dead, we'll be more alive than we've ever been before. Christians have eternal life. We're not numbered by our days or by time or restricted by the element of time. His days are numbered. His time is short. But then here's the sad part. They return. Now, when I looked at this, when they return, the first thing they saw was that the house was swept. That's a good thing. The next thing you see is that the house was garnished. That means decorated. That's a good thing. So to look at it from the outside, it looks like a good house. But there was one problem. It was empty. It does no good to have the unclean spirit cast out of the house of a man or woman and leave the house empty. This next part is going to get real touchy. If you want to overcome unclean spirits in the day that we're living in, I don't know if you post things, if you use social media, if you do, you can put these words down and I'll stand behind it. I don't care what the Lord has delivered you from. You can't keep your house empty. And you post this, you must have the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God must live and dwell inside. Well, preacher, why is that important and how do you get that? What's the significance of that? Well, Jesus put it this way. He says on the last, in John 7, you remember the last day of the great day of the feast? He gave them a promise. He said, if you come and if any man thirsts, he can drink and I'll give him waters that will be rivers of living waters flowing out of your belly. He says it will come from the inside. The house won't be empty. It will come from the inside out. By the way, you've got to understand, the Lord doesn't work His way in. He works His way out of us. If we do everything we can to the outside and don't have the inside taken care of, and that's what happens. We educate ourselves. We learn a few verses of Scripture. But inside we're still empty. And we are vulnerable to the power of the enemy when we don't have any help inside. Then Jesus said what that living water was. I didn't say it. He said what it was. He said that it's the Spirit. Because the Spirit had not yet been given, because He had not been yet glorified. And in fact, He goes so far as to say in John chapter 7, this spake He, signifying or concerning the Holy Ghost. Now, why did He liken the Spirit of God unto water? Here is the basis of the whole message. There's only one way to get rid of an unclean spirit for good. One thing that I know from the Word of God, you find it from the demoniac of Gadara, you find it from John 7 when Jesus talked about the living water being the Holy Ghost. Do you know something? Demons can't swim. The water drowns them. I'm not talking about physical water. I'm talking about the water and power of the Holy Ghost. I don't care where we are or what we're doing. If the Spirit of the Lord is there and the power of the Holy Ghost is there, there's no demon from hell that can stand against the Spirit of the living God. God's power and God's Spirit is greater than every unclean spirit in all of the world. If you have loved ones that are bound and oppressed by unclean spirits, I've come with good news tonight to tell you there is power through the Holy Ghost to overcome every evil force that ever comes against us. We have to know our power is not within us. It's not within ourselves. Our power lies in the Spirit of the living God. What we need right now for revival to come, we need the water to flow. Flow through our homes, flow through our churches, through our businesses, through our finances. We need the Spirit of God. The reason that that's not happening is because too many have grieved Him and said, "We don't need You." I can tell you after 38 years of preaching, I need the Holy Ghost more tonight than I've ever needed Him in my life. Some of you have been saved for years, and as you get closer to heaven, you'll need the help of the Spirit greater than you've ever needed it before. I'm not discouraged one bit. I think we are on the brink of one of the greatest revivals that could ever hit this nation. And you may say that it's over, and you may say that it's a lost cause, but I'm here to tell you, you set an unsaved person in a service that is filled with the Spirit of God, and it won't take long for something to happen. They may not know one verse of Scripture, and yes, they may say they're an atheist, and they may say that this is all just a figment of our imagination, and that Christianity is a crutch for weak-minded people. But you let them get in one service where the Spirit of the living God is flowing from heart to heart, and the love of God is shed abroad by the power of the Holy Ghost. It won't take long for something to happen and then begin to see there is power, there is help in the Lord that we don't have ourselves.